On the show today, we have PRIT Credit Union Services' very own Jack Smith and Kyle Stutzman talking about, well, the big question right now, what now? What do we do now with, or what do credit unions do now with their technology budgets, their strategy, their initiatives? Now that things are starting to open up a little bit, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel here. So just a kind of a free-flowing conversation with Jack and Kyle and some really cool examples of what credit unions are doing right now to plan for the future. So check this one out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have the gentleman from Pure IT Credit Union Services, Mr. Kyle Stutzman in the upper corner. Kyle, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic. And Mr. Jack Smith down below there in the middle. Jack, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I feel like the Brady Bunch.
A little Brady Bunch?
Direction here.
I've actually adopted the Hollywood Squares theme to it. So if we could get a few more people, I had like six on yesterday,
nice.
And it was a true Hollywood Squares experience. So it was a lot of fun, but I'll take the Brady Bunch as well. Hey, speaking of which, the last time we spoke was like right at the beginning when all of this kind of hit the fan and people were just clamoring and just finding information, and everyone was like moving their employees home for remote, all of this stuff was happening. And so this was probably what now, 6 weeks later, 7 weeks later, something like that. How are things going now? Because you guys were kind of Johnny on the spot with all the remote workforce movement and all that type of stuff. So how are things going on that front? Kyle, I'll let you go first, or Jack, whomever wants to go first.
Kyle, please.
Kyle?
It's going great. We've been very impressed with how credit unions have adapted to just help their communities, take care of their employees, and how they're figuring out the current normal, whatever the future normal may be.
Yeah.
So there are institutions that, I mean, we have numbers from Massachusetts to Texas to the West Coast, California, and Midwest too, where they were able to get remote workers out within, you know, 8 to 20 hours, you know, basically a day to 3 days, that they were changing their workforce very, very quickly. And then, you know, they've been stabilizing processes and making sure that security and procedures and all that were part of that mix. But it was amazing, those that were much better prepared because of their technology path mm-hmm. that they were on, and others who were able to adapt quickly and kind of accelerate things. So it's been a fun journey to go along with the credit unions on that. And I think what I hope we get to talk about today is some of the, what they see is coming, you know, what's going to happen now for the rest of 2020 and maybe some of the long-term impacts we're hearing from the CEOs and the tech leaders.
Indeed. And right after I interviewed you guys, I interviewed Becky Reed at Lone Star, and they had already had kind of this remote workforce plan in place. And she said everything went smoothly like clockwork, and so it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, it's a big deal for organizations of any size to do this type of thing, but for her and many other credit unions who already had these plans in place, it just a lot of them didn't skip a beat. So kudos to those folks for having plans in place to get this done, because none of us really saw this coming at this scale. So it was really good to have this stuff in place. Jack, I mean, do you have anything else to add to what's happened so far in the last few months?
Yes, and I think there's been another interesting thing that's occurred too, is that a lot of these CEOs are realizing that, especially in the mid-sized to smaller credit unions, that we deal with, that if you only have one person in IT, or maybe you don't really have anyone in IT, but specifically if you have one or two people, that having everything documented for the plan. I mean, it's one thing to have a disaster recovery and a business continuity plan.
Yeah.
It's another thing to have all of your processes documented, all of your passwords saved in a place where multiple people have access. Because if someone were to get sick,
mm-hmm.
God forbid,
yeah.
or something were to happen and that person couldn't work or help you keep everything up and running, what is your other, you know, what have you done to mitigate that? And so, so we actually are moving into those stages. We're getting a lot of BIA work right now, which is business impact analysis work, where people are wanting to see what is the impact if there is a disaster like this and you can't get to an application, or if a server goes down, or mm-hmm. so people are actually, it's interesting. And Kyle's going to talk a little bit about this too. I think we're seeing an evolution of people realizing it's not just enough to have the actual technology piece. There needs to be other pieces to this puzzle that need to be there to make sure that you can really, because going to work from remote is one thing, but having mitigation as a part of that in case something else occurs, also has to be thought about. So it's almost like redundancy. Yeah. If that's not redundant.
It is now.
Yes.
Well, and I also heard the analogy many, many times of people saying, hey, you know what, we're building the airplane as we're taking off, you know, as we're flying it. So a lot of improvisation was taking place at that time. And so it's just amazing how, and I've just heard some incredible stories, as you guys have probably as well, just amazing stories of how credit unions really just stepped up to the plate and had their acts together and were serving members in very unique circumstances. It's just really cool to hear and have those technology pieces in place along with the planning and the strategies. Just really, really worked out well. So it was really good to see
that. For sure they've seen mobile banking go off the charts, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
They used to have people that would only come into branches. Well, all those people had to adjust, right? Mm-hmm. So you're seeing the impact to the systems have been huge because now everyone's having to go online to get to their account. So it's been very interesting, to say the least.
All right, so Kyle, I mean, I want to talk about the big question of what you wanted to ask. I was like, what now? You know, so where do we go from here type of thing? So what's your answer to that? I mean, I know we can go into many directions, but what did you want to focus on as you know, with this what do we do now question?
Well, to start with, to have a few conversations and maybe even a challenge for some CEOs and IT leaders to get together and talk. So just this last 2 weeks, I had conversations with both, you know, the CEO executive team, and I had conversations with the IT leadership team separately. And it's insightful sometimes to have those conversations in different rooms, or in this case, different calls, because you hear different things. So I did hear in two cases, the IT leadership saying, everything's off this year. Like, we're not doing anything, none of the things we were planning to do, which, you know, we had some real honest conversation about that, but you hang up the phone and you're like, that's not realistic. That is not what's gonna happen. No credit union is gonna have their IT team sitting there doing nothing or only maintaining the current systems, and you don't want them firefighting. So. Yeah. But as a challenge for the IT teams to think, and the leadership, what is it that we can actually do to enable the business? And hopefully that message they received or they understood from the executive or the CEO was just a temporary message as they're getting kind of there oriented again about what's possible. Mm-hmm. We're talking to CEOs and they're saying, yeah, there's true impact, right? There's impact from I have half of my revenue that I thought I was going to earn is now potentially out the window. My net income is just not going to be there this year, or it's maybe worse than half. You know, that's still being updated sometimes daily, getting a sense of what kind of fallout might be there. Will it be less or more is still unknown. But really, from a CEO perspective, you really want to encourage the executive team or CEOs to be thinking about the whole technology operations for the rest of this year as part of their renewed business strategy. Mm-hmm. So that connection between the CEOs and the tech teams and the business really just needs to be established in a stronger state, thinking operations as in technology people. Jack actually touched on that already. What's it mean if I lose someone or I'm missing a skill set, or how are my people taken care of? But people, the processes that need to be documented, the new processes that need to be documented now that we're, you know, in remote ways serving our members, and we don't know how that all transitioned back. And then the actual technology and project. So instead of thinking of it just as a budget exercise or just as a project initiative exercise, taking the opportunity really that's in front of us with the transitions that have happened to really look at the technology operations. There are real opportunities that we see this year, and we're hearing some credit unions start to seize on of what they might be able to do to strengthen, make things more efficient. We can talk a little bit about more of some of those examples, but yeah. That's really what I'm seeing for 2020 is the challenge is we reorient to whether you say transform this year or redeem this year, that you really engage and bring technology back to that strategy conversation, because this is the time that you actually need to be spending on things of value. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard the term forced transition. Right. So and so many levels. I mean, that's true with what's going on with any industry. There's a lot of this forced, you know, work processes and digital and all this type of stuff that's been, you know, forced upon us. Even the consumer has been forced to go digital in many, many cases, like we talked about at the top of the show, with people with mobile. My gosh.
Well, it's accelerating everything, right? It's just an acceleration of plans that were already either in place or we're going to be next year. And so a lot of the credit unions that we're talking to, a lot of the CEOs are actually taking advantage. Sorry, guys, we're having a storm warning and my phone's going off.
Oh, my gosh.
See, it's a Zoom. It's a Zoom thing. There you go.
Run to the cellar. Run to the cellar, Jack. Yeah. Get Toto.
We don't have cellars in Texas, or I guess we do on the farms, but not at the houses. But anyway, but we're seeing like playbooks be created. Like I literally just reviewed a playbook. You spoke about Lone Star. I just saw Lone Star's new playbook for the year, and it's really interesting. It covers how do we go back to work? Because right now in Texas, at least, we're slowly everything's opening back up, right? And so we're determining how we're going to do that. And like at Pure IT, I'll use us as an example, and I'll use Lone Star because I happen to see their playbook.
Yeah.
But we're doing a gradual. So what we're going to do is actually have certain people come in on certain days to keep us distant. Certain groups come in on certain days. We're even thinking about doing a shared desk thing and a wipe down where you decontaminate your desk. So looking, I mean, that's a whole new world for a lot of credit unions and for us as well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, but then there's an opportunity there. And I think this is where things get lost a lot. There's so much opportunity to improve. And Kyle touched on it and I was touching on it a little bit. You can really get your processes documented. You can really take advantage of this to be better prepared for what could come next or what we don't know could come next. This is, I mean, I think that's where people miss out. So yes, I think credit unions are going to have a rough year. I mean, I think that's an obvious thing. I think loans are going to be down. I mean, I think that income is going to be down, but I don't think that means you stop. And I think that that's where some credit unions were well positioned, for lack of a better term, for this and in a way that maybe they didn't even realize. And so what we are hearing from some CEOs is it's time to, and for lack of a, use a gambling term, it's time to double down. Mm-hmm. We're going to actually get things, we're going to take advantage of the time to get things right.
Right.
So that next year we don't have, you know, we're not worried about these things. So some, and then there's some credit unions that are in the throes of it. But I mean, a lot of credit unions were well prepared from a financial perspective, and they're taking advantage of that. Lone Star, I'll mention them again. They're actually doing a full disaster recovery dual site right now because Becky was going to put it on hold. And then me and her had a conversation and she said, you know what? I think this actually tells me why I need to make that investment right now instead of pulling back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that to me was very forward thinking for a CEO to not say, hey, I'm going to just go hunker down right now and hope that this storm passes. No, I'm actually going to do the things that I know I need to do. And I'm going to accelerate those things so that I'm better prepared. So I think it's just it's a point of view, right? It's a way of looking at things. And from a technology perspective, I think everyone's realizing how important it is to be, you said it, Kyle said it, and I said it, to realize you're accelerating that journey for your credit union. Your credit union can't hold back on that anymore.
Nope.
So, I mean, it's just too important.
Yeah, and I think we're gone from living in the present for so many days in a row because of this thing. Now we're looking toward the future, and that's kind of what you want to talk about as well, Kyle. Did you have some other examples as well of what people are looking at?
Yeah, so CEOs are not abandoning their strategy, but they are reevaluating it. And I think that's extremely healthy when we hear that. So I was talking to a CEO in a Pennsylvania credit union that she was talking through what things they still wanted to accomplish this year because the business value was still there connected to their technology roadmap. But there's going to be some changes. And I think those are healthy. So some opportunities that she had identified and we were talking through together is what's it look like if you don't hire that new person you needed to, you know, to work that initiative. They had some internal initiatives. It was going to develop some internal software connected to processes, connected to some lending processes and things they had. Anyway, the details of that aren't as important as the idea is, well, now we probably don't want to hire that person, you know, this year, but I don't want to hold back from what's really strategic for moving this lending initiative forward. So there's services that we can help connect her to or provide. There's fractional developers or SharePoint people that we can connect them to.
Right.
So people are taking a look at what's there, and it's once again that connection between the reality of what we're doing and what IT wanted to do and thought they were going to do and what the business needs. Because you don't, you know, in that case, there's some healthy conversation of, well, we can't really do much if we don't hire this person. Mm-hmm. And, but we still need to do something. So there are usually these middle ground areas where you can take a step forward. And that's, I think, what's most important in 2020 yet for this year.
Yeah.
You're reevaluating the strategy, listening to what the CEO executives are doing and the business is wanting to accomplish, and find that way to take a step forward, even if it's not the long-term solution, but it's not going to, you're not going to take a direction that goes left when you know your path long-term is right, mm-hmm. but you can take a step towards that right direction. And so we're seeing credit unions start to do that. And it's extremely encouraging. They're not frozen in the current today, I think is what you said, like looking to just at today, they're looking to the future and trying to find ways that they can take that next step, either with a partner or with a solution or some way that they maybe hadn't imagined before. Which includes, I think Jack said, efficiencies, and these are things we don't often like to talk about, but there are times where you need to prune systems, vendors. You know, you may have things that you've been putting off because you weren't forced to do it, and we're talking about things you're being forced to do now. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's an opportunity to take care of that, you know, consolidation wasn't needed. There's things in the tech world that if you have to sit down and look at them closely, you have systems that overlap. We see it. Every single credit union we go into for an assessment,
yeah.
they may have five systems that all could do similar things. And this could be the opportunity to put that into one package and really reduce it. Or they bought Office 365 mm-hmm. years ago, and now Office 365 is, you know, 10 different solutions under one little umbrella. And they're, you know, they still have lots of sprawl of prior systems that they could get rid of from, you know, email systems, communication systems, chat systems. And those things actually relate well with most people's strategy now from remote work. So it's it's interesting to have all these conversations because we initially, you get that first gut reaction, well, this whole year is lost. We're not going to do anything. And you start having the real conversation and there's all kinds of initiatives. They just might be slightly different. They might be a little muted. But there's a lot of things that can be done, and we just need to get everyone back to the table and focused in the, you know, the next step, not worrying about 5 years from now, make sure you're taking that direction, but just take a step or two forward.
Yeah. The year's not over yet. We got 6 more months to go. Come on.
There'll be more surprises to come. Well,
and having said that, I want to play devil's advocate real quick here. I mean, how does a credit union operate in such a fluid time like we are right now? Because things are still changing on a daily basis at many, many places. So Jack, I mean, how do you, when you're dealing with a credit union who's living in such a fluid environment like that, how do you tell them, you know, keep putting one step forward, keep moving forward? Because if you stand still, you're going to get, like we've talked about pre-virus, you're going to get run over and left behind. So this is a great opportunity to really keep moving forward.
I think this is where leadership really comes into play, right? And having really good leadership in an environment, in this kind of environment, the really good leaders tend to stabilize and focus on, okay, this is what's coming at us, and we just have to stay calm and keep moving forward in a slower but steady state.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what you see with a lot of the CEOs that we talk to that seem to have a really good handle on what they want to accomplish. They don't get rattled. They tend to, I mean, don't get me wrong, everyone feels the pressure and everything that's coming at them. And this is, I mean, again, we've never been here, but it's the ones that actually stay focused. Kyle said it really well. It's the ones that understand my strategy might have changed, but I don't have to completely abandon it. I need to realize what's important and mm-hmm. what I can execute on right now. Mm-hmm. And that's what I need to focus on. And I think staying in that moment, I mean, it's kind of funny to me. I think people are more in the moment right now than they've ever been in their entire lives, mm-hmm. right? You're either living in the past or you're living in the future, but you're not normally in the now. And I think everyone is kind of in the now right now. And I think that is the good leaders understand that, and they're allowing that to kind of come and cascade on them and go, okay, this is what I can do. This is the opportunity this has given me mm-hmm. that maybe I wouldn't have executed on before, but now I realize this is the now and I have to do this now. And so mm-hmm. I see it. I mean, we're so fortunate to be in the role that we're in because we get to see leadership take place, right? And we get to be a part of helping that happen.
Yeah.
And so when you see a really good CEO say, I know that we've got to keep moving forward. I can't freeze right now, because freezing is the worst thing you can do, right? In any bad situation.
Yeah.
But making decisions and then following through with those decisions, that's really all you can do. And then you hope for the best. And I think that's what we're seeing in a lot of cases. And it's really impressive. I mean, I've been so blown away by a lot of the people we work with just because, you know, I always knew Becky was awesome, but she's even more awesome when you're watching her go through this, because she is. She's staying calm. Yeah. She's not being rattled. And that's what it takes. You know, we see it with Dexday. We see it with, I mean, we're seeing it with a lot of institutions. And so I think I don't want to sit here and just name drop credit unions because I don't know that they want me to, but I see a lot of these leaders that are fantastic at what they do. And we're very fortunate to work in the environment, to work with such good people that are dealing with the environment we're in so well.
And what's amazing, and that I've, and you guys have probably seen this as well, is like, this stuff is working. In this environment, in this kind of makeshift environment that we've been thrown into, it's working. So
CEOs are not just seeing it's working. I think I've had three calls, and I'm not even in the role of some of our CIO advisors, CTO advisors, our CISO, you know, that are getting the questions of, hey, we're planning to have part of this be permanent going forward. We have multiple credit unions saying, we're not going to have remote staff, probably all remote staff, like we've had to been forced to.
Yeah.
But we see a portion, and we're hearing portions that are anywhere from 20% to 60% or more, that they're saying, you know, this is changing our branching strategy, or maybe not as much branching as this is changing our back office strategy. I don't necessarily.
Can I share real quick? I want to interject, right? Kyle, just really fast. There's a large credit union that we are very close to and do a lot of work for. And they were going to build a whole new headquarters, and they're not doing that now. They've decided to move 60% of their back office functions to work from home going forward.
Wow.
That's a huge – so think about the capital they just saved that they had already been putting aside for this new headquarters, and they're not doing it. So that just gave them a lot of capital. But that was a very smart, savvy decision by their leadership team to say, hey, let's not – this has actually changed what we think we need to do. And so I'm sorry, Kyle, I just wanted to share that story because I was like, there's a perfect example of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet there's similar thoughts nationwide right now. If people are planning new headquarters or new branches, things like that, I bet there's a lot of similar thinking going on right now. Do we really need to do this since this is working so well? So yeah, it's going to be super interesting to see what happens in the next 3 to 6 months and beyond as well, just to see how, what sticks, you know, what's working. So yeah. Gentlemen, anything else to add? Kyle, anything else to add here? Did we cover everything that you guys wanted to cover?
I'm sure there's more stories we could tell, but I think we've covered it for today. And it's just great to see the credit union starting to, like I said, look to the future, look to the next step. Jack said it well about leadership. There are a lot of decisions you can make that you still have a little bit of a hedge, or you have, you know, you can make a decision that doesn't have to be for the long term. It used to be technology seemed like it forced some longer term contracts. That's just not the case anymore. There's a lot of things you can do, even with what you have today, and reconfigure it. That's just really great to see, you know, credit unions taking steps to improve while being creative and agile in their approach.
Indeed. So, yeah. Jack, anything else to add there?
No, I think Kyle said it very well. Okay. I think that he hit the nail on that. I will tell you, there's one little thing I do want to share.
Sure.
One of the credit unions, this is a total sidebar story, but is reaching out to all of their members over 60 to check on them, to bring them food. Cool. I just want to share that because I think people need to understand how awesome credit unions are. And when I heard that story, I was moved to tears. I mean, I was like, that's what it's about, right? That's serving your members. Indeed. And when you're the response they got from a lot of their members were, that was the first person some of their elderly members had talked to since this happened, and they'd been in lockdown. So just the phone call meant the world to them. Mm-hmm. So I just think that's a great story, and it just talks about our industry and how awesome our industry is. That's all. I'll end with that. But that's
our wheelhouse for sure. And I want to give you guys a shout out because I heard multiple stories about how you guys went above and beyond the call of duty to help out many, many credit unions again, I'll go back to the top of the show when we first talked to you guys 3 months ago, how everything was hitting the fan and people were just pulling out their hair. But you guys were this rock steady force. Like, we can do this. We can do this. We can get your workforce at home. Here's how we can do it. You know, all this type of stuff. So I want to give you guys a shout out as well, as well as all the other providers out there, all the vendors out there who just went above and beyond the call of duty to help out credit unions and help them do what they do best, to help, to do stories like what you just talked about, Jack, you know, to have the time to take and or take the time to call out, you know, these elderly folks to see if they're okay. So that's really, really cool what's going on. It's just a great industry to be in. So I just want to say shout out to everybody. So, all right, gentlemen, I'm going to let you guys get back to work because you got lots more to do.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.